everybody. Hi. How are you? How are you doing? How is everything? How is everybody? How have you been? Welcome to Training Topics du jour. It's been a minute. There's been quite a lot of things going on and I had to step away from the podcast, but I'm back and I am so excited. Oh my God, there's been craziness all over. Lots of controversy in the news and pop culture. Lots of hot topics that I haven't been able to talk about. And we are going to talk about all that next week. But this week, we're going to continue on our Diaspora Living series. This will be the second and final episode of that series, Diaspora Living. And today, we're going to talk about embracing change and moving forward and sort of like let you in terms of how I managed and coped and settled in a new environment that I wasn't really comfortable with and in during that time. My name is Tak. I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad you're listening to me. Let's get started. So, for those of you that are listening to this podcast for the very first time, let me just fill you in on what this Diaspora Living series is all about before we get into the meat and potatoes of it. So last week I talked about how hard it was for me to settle in Canada when I moved from Malawi, Africa, and the first couple of years were really, really difficult because I didn't know anybody and the culture was so different that it took me a minute to understand and comprehend and embrace that I had moved and I had moved on to something bigger and better and to accept that I had to leave my old life behind. So leave my friends, leave my extended family, leave the job that I loved and everything. And so that's what we talked about last week. So that episode was called Diaspora Living, Leaving What's Behind. And today we are going to talk about embracing change, right? I'm not sure about you guys, but for me, I really have a hard time in embracing change, accepting change. I am not fond of change. I know that change is inevitable and eventually things change. Like literally everything changes. The only thing that doesn't change is God's love upon his people. For those of you that believe in God or Jesus Christ, or you have a religious kind of background, I am religious myself. I'm a Christian. So I know that change is inevitable. Literally everything changes, right? Even from the very beginning, like the very, very beginning, before you and I got here, our parents met each other and they got married or whatever way and we were conceived and we were born and we became babies. And so that's evolution. That's change. Change is always going to be there. I know that. I understand that. But my mind, my spirit, my brain really struggles with change. I am really not a fan of change. Change makes me uncomfortable, but it is inevitable. So as I get older, I try painfully to embrace change, even though I'm not a fan. I don't like change. I like things being the way they are. It's comfortable. I know what to expect. I know what I'm getting and what I'm giving. And why can't things just be the same? But obviously, life doesn't work that way. Everything changes. Everything changes. The weather changes. People change. We grow up. We gain weight. We lose weight. We get older. Everything changes. People change jobs. People change wives. Everything. Literally everything changes. And so change is inevitable. And I'm saying all that to say this. So last episode, I talked about how hard it was for me to embrace change, but it had to happen. I did not have a choice. It had to happen. I had to accept that, okay, my life in Malawi, it was great, it was good, but I had moved on. So I had to leave that behind and start all over again here. And that's what we're going to talk about today, because even after the first 2 years, so year three, I'm here, and I feel like the third year was the year that I started to, you know, I accepted it. I was like, okay, this is my home now. So I let go of the past. I wasn't so stuck with like finding out everything that's going on, calling my friends all the time. Of course, I called them, but it wasn't as consistently as it was with the first 2 years, because the first 2 years, literally, my mind and brain and soul and heart was in Malawi. The only thing that was here in Canada was my body. But everything was there. I held on to my friends. Oh my God. And I feel like I have a problem, an attachment problem too. But I'm the kind of person who, when I like something and when I connect to that thing, it takes me a while to let it go. Like, I know that maybe there may be some psychological issue or like a mental issue or an emotional issue. I don't know. I may need therapy, honey. But I have issues, I guess. Or to put it in a few words, I may have issues. So anyway, year three was the year that I also started going to uni, because I was like, okay, I'm here now, so I don't want to do this job that I'm doing, because as I mentioned in the last episode, I was working as a restaurant, I don't know, customer service person, like it was a fast food restaurant. So I was, yeah, a cashier or a customer service person or a garnisher or something, right? So I started with going to Douglas College, actually. I went to Douglas College. That was in 2010. Yeah, 2010. I enrolled into a criminology program. That was the... So backstory to my enrollment to the criminology program. As you may know, if you listen to my last episode, I had tried applying for a radio job, but the radio people said that my accent was too thick. It didn't align with their audience. So initially, my main focus or my main interest was in journalism or broadcast journalism. But when that radio lady said that my voice didn't align, or my accent rather, my accent didn't align with their audience, that really crushed my dream in terms of being in broadcast media. And so I was like, okay, fine. Let me go and do another program that doesn't involve math or sciences or anything like that. Side note to the side note, I don't like math. I'm not a math person. I'm not a science person. I do not like math and numbers and formulas and things like that. So literally what I did, I went on the website, looked at the programs that were being offered. And to me, what seemed to be the easiest was either going into a program, a university program or a college program that either... that I just majored in arts or humanities or social sciences. I looked at the prerequisites, and for me, what really caught my heart and my eye and the light went off in my head, it was the criminology program. It seemed so interesting to me. I was like, yes, Yes, let's do this. So, I enrolled into the criminology. This was a diploma program, so I enrolled into criminology diploma program, at Douglas College, and I did that. So yes, 2 years I did the diploma, and then I transferred to SFU, do a degree program in criminology. During that time, like the first 2 years that I was in college, I was still working at the restaurant, but my mind was just like, okay, you know what? I need more. First of all, I need more money, 'cause you know me, guys. I don't know if you know, but I love money, and I always want to do the best I can to make sure that I am being productive and making money. Basically, so I was like, okay, at this restaurant, I'm getting paid $8 an hour. It's okay, it's like whatever, because I was living with my family here. But then I was like, I need more. So if I'm gonna need more, I need to start applying and looking for other opportunities. So in my second year, while I was at Douglas College, I applied for a job at a cell phone service provider company. At the call center, I got the job. Guys, I feel like everyone that lives, not even lives in a first world country, but I feel like everyone at some point in their life, they should do a customer service job because it gives you so much perspective. So, a customer service job, either face to face or on the phone, because I worked at his cell phone service provider at the call center, and yo, it was crazy. Oh my God, that was so wild. Okay, it was so wild. I worked as a retention agent. So if you're working as a retention agent, your job is to make sure that you convince people that are calling to cancel their service. Your job is to make sure that you convince them not to cancel, but instead renew. Renew their commitment, renew their services, renew their business with the company. That was hard. It was hard, but it was better. It was definitely better than my restaurant job. And even though it was hard, there's some pros to it, to be honest. The pay was really good, in my opinion, at that time. I think I was getting like $18 an hour then. That was in 2012. Yes, 2012, so working as a call center agent, a retention agent, and I was getting $18 an hour. To me, that was fine. That was okay. Like, more than enough, right? And then my employer at that time as well would give us, bonuses, and there was like all these other perks that they were giving, so that we were motivated to make sure that when we are speaking to the callers who are calling to cancel their service, we do the best that we can to convince them that we value their business and we don't want them to leave. That was an eye-opening experience for me as well. Again, as I said in the previous episode, guys, I have a thick accent. I know that. And my accent was even thicker back then. Like super thick, thicker. Back then, right? And so working at a call center already, like here in Canada, from my opinion, most people that are calling, first of all, if they're calling to cancel their service, most of the times it is because they are not satisfied or we're not giving them a better rate than what the competitor is offering. So when they get to me, or when they got to me at that time, many callers, I would say like maybe 75% of the callers would be like, I don't want to speak to somebody in the Philippines, or I don't want to speak to somebody in India. Get me a Canadian agent, an agent who is in Canada. I was like, well, I am in Canada. Like, what are you talking about? What is you talking about, bro? I am in Canada. And then they were like, no, I know a Canadian, how a Canadian sounds. You don't sound like that, blah 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 blah. It was that was the annoying part, actually. I don't know if you guys know, do you know how hard it is to convince somebody that yes, Sir, I know I have an accent. This country of Canada has a lot of immigrants. There are a lot of cultures. And obviously, all of us are not going to have the same kind of accents. We speak differently because we're from different parts of the world. So the way we pronounce our words, our intonation, our accents and things like that, obviously that's going to be different, right? So the hardest part about that was convincing these callers that were so gung-ho that I wasn't in Canada or I wasn't Canadian. Well, that part they got right because obviously I became Canadian later. But yes, and I would tell them, yes, you're right, I'm not Canadian, but I am in Canada. And so I can help you. Most of them would hang up and then call back. And then, funny story. Okay, side note to the side note as well. I'm sorry, guys, I can't stay on track. But side note to the side note as well. A lot of companies here in Canada, I'm sure in the States as well, or in most first world countries, most of the countries outsource their call center services to other countries. So like the Philippines, India, Malaysia, and all over the place, really, right? So the reason why I'm saying this is because most of the people that would call me and said, most of the people that called and said that, oh, I want to speak to a Canadian agent. I don't want to speak to you. You're not in Canada, whatever, whatever. And they hang up. Almost all the time when they would hang up and call back, they now would actually get an agent that's not in Canada. Because again, most, even though my employer at that time was outsourcing their services to other countries outside of Canada, I personally was here, right? So these callers who would be like, oh, I don't want to speak to you, I'll hang up. They hung up and now literally they would actually speak to somebody who was in the Philippines or India or whatever. Not my fault, because I told you. But anyway, so I'm saying that to say this. That was my first office job here in Canada as a call center agent. And it was very eye-opening. I learned a lot of skills. The skills that I learned from that call center position as a retention agent, those are the skills that have helped me as I've moved and switched jobs in this country. Because again, for you to work as a retention agent, like to convince somebody who's calling to say that I don't like your service, it's bad, or I don't like how you're charging me for this, give me more, I need more, I want to pay less, or the competitor is offering this, why are you not offering this? For you to convince somebody who's calling with that mentality and for that reason and convince them to stay and even convince them to, you know, to get more services, so essentially have them pay more, that those skills that I learned from that job have helped me with the other jobs that I've gotten after working at the call center. It helped me with dealing with irate people. It helped me to not take, you know, things personally, because sometimes I know for sure that some of the callers that were calling in, they would be calling in because they were having a bad day, and then for some reason, they just wanted to take it out on someone. So some people would cuss, some would say some racist stuff, which is like, whatever. I don't really care about that anyway, because first of all, I don't know you, I don't see you. So that's like, whatever, right? But I never took it personally. But that job, the call center job, I worked there for 5 years. That job and the skills that I learned at that position have helped me so much in my other jobs after that job, in the jobs following my call center position as a retention agent. Another good thing working for that company is I didn't have to pay for my phone bill, guys. And that was amazing. The perks were really good. It was hard work because obviously, you have to convince people, but the job was really, really good. That was my first office job here in Canada, and I loved it. And once I started, like, you know, settling down properly, and like this office job as well helped me in making friendships that I have up to today. It helped me with understanding things a little bit more. Most of my coworkers were from different cultures, different countries, like different ethnicities. So we had like people from the Philippines that were working here, obviously Philippines and Filipinos in Canada. We had people from India. We had people from Fiji. My very good friend, like my BFF, is from Cameroon. So we had that, and that's where I met her at work, and she's actually really cool. But I'll have on the podcast one of these days. She's amazing. She's my big sister. I'm saying that to say this. When I started that job, it opened up the world for me. In a way that I got to embrace other people's cultures, meet a lot of people, talk to a lot of people as well over the phone, right? And so I would say that that job and me going to uni, those two things grounded me and really made me feel like, okay, we're here. We're at home. Now Canada is home, and we're going to do the best that we can to succeed, right? So I would say that that was my biggest thing. And that was the main reason why I was able to embrace change, because of the stability of an office job, as well as the stability of me earning an education in criminology. By the way, you guys, let me tell you this. If I wasn't doing the job that I'm doing right now, I would be in some sort of like law enforcement, because, oh my God, criminology is so exciting. Criminology is so exciting. It is an exciting program. It is an exciting program. And honestly, I would put that on the Mount Rushmore of my highs of moving to this country. When I went to uni to earn that degree in criminology, that opened my eyes to so many things. And I think up to now, actually, I look at things differently now, like in terms of crimes or law and law enforcement and court cases and things like that. Because every time like I hear or I see anything that has to do with crime, or law or breaking the law and things like that, my light bulb in my head goes off just like that, because I'm like, okay, so if this person did this, the Canadian Criminal Code says this, so what's going to happen? And so that's always on my mind. And even though I didn't use my crim degree in quite a few jobs that I've had, that's one of the good things that have come out of the situation. Actually, my criminology degree is on the Mount Rushmore, up there, of my achievements in being in this country. It was amazing. The instructors were amazing. I loved it so much. One day I may go back actually to criminology and get a different kind of education in crime. I don't know what that would be, but I may go back. It's exciting, it's amazing, it's very factual, straightforward, like reviewing Keslo, for example. It's oh, I loved it. I loved it. So anyway, I'm saying all that to say this. I worked 5 years with that employer. So I think that was from 2012 to 2017. And then another opportunity presented itself, and I moved on to finding employment with the provincial government of BC. But we're not going to talk about that because that's besides the point. I'm saying all that to say this. Everything for me changed. My mind changed the moment I sort of like invested into attending a higher education as well as looking for a different employment, because that enabled me to meet a lot of people, and I embraced it, and that's how I made lots of friends, and that's how I became, I guess, who I am today, by doubling into those two. One thing that I would say that I had an issue with, even though I was embracing change, one thing that I had an issue with always is trying to date outside my culture, right? So I'm a Black African woman, and always at the back of my head, I was like, oh my God, okay. Since I'm trying this embracing the change thing, let's try and see if we can we can dabble into, or we can venture into other cultures and ethnicities and things like that, and see what that is like. Side note, another side note. I'm sorry, you guys, I have lots of side notes, but side note. At that time, so let's say if 2012 moving forward, at that time, there wasn't really, in my opinion, and in my vicinity and my circle and people that I was seeing and meeting, there wasn't really a time that I met a Black man that was single, like a regular Black man that was single. All right, so like in 2012, for example, I was 28. I was 28 years old. So I was at that age. I mean, I was at that age that I was like, okay, I'm here now. I'm ready. I've settled down. I feel like I feel like I have rooted myself in here. I'm embracing change, and let me try and see how dating is going to go. Honestly speaking, I never met or saw Black men that were single and available to date. They just weren't there. There was no Black man. I would literally take it a week or 2 weeks or even 3 weeks before seeing a Black man. I'm not even kidding. Now things have changed as it stands right now, because now there are a lot of Black people all over the place, and I love that. But at that time, it would take a week before I saw a Black person, right? So I was like, okay, well, obviously, I'm not objecting to dating somebody else or a person from a different race of co or culture, but let me try, right? Let me try and see how it goes. You guys, let me tell you something, okay? You guys should not laugh at me. Okay, so I was like, okay, let me try online dating. Yeah, no, that was a bad idea. Okay, so so I was like, okay, let me try online dating. And I tried it. I remember I started talking to this guy on, I think, what was it? Was it Match.com or Plenty of Fish? I think it was PlentyofFish.com. So I started talking to this guy. He was Caucasian. He lived in Vancouver as well, and so he was like, his bio and what he said in the on his dating profile was like, yeah, I'm just looking for somebody. I want to settle down. I'm open to everyone. Blah 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 blah. I was like, okay, cool. So we set up a date, right? We set up a date and guys, guys, I can't. The reason why I'm sighing is because that was crazy. Okay, so picture this. Set up a date. The guy says, okay, I'll come pick you up from work. And we can go and, you know, to a lounge. We just sit down, talk, maybe have a few drinks and see how it goes. I was like, okay, cool. I mean, I had been speaking to this guy over the phone, text and whatnot for close to a month prior to meeting, right? So I was like, okay, cool. So this guy came to pick me up. Comes pick me up. It was around 5, maybe. Yeah, getting off work. Comes to pick me up. He was a good looking guy. He was so good looking. I should have known that that was a red flag. Good looking people will break your heart. But that's neither here nor there. But yeah, so he comes to pick me up. And we're driving. We're talking towards the restaurant. And then there is a police car, right? Coming from the other direction. And then I look at this guy and he starts panicking. I'm like, okay, what's wrong? What's going on? I was like, is everything okay? He's like, yeah, it's okay. And then he opens his glove compartment. And guys, there was a gun. This guy had a gun in his glove compartment. I was like, what the fudge? Right? Like, what is going on? What is this? He was like, yeah, I just carry a weapon to secure for security. Yeah. He was like, oh, I carry a gun for security, but I don't want to get in trouble in case the police stop us. And so I'm just going to pull over and then I need to hide this gun under my seat. So my seat as in his seat, right? I was like, what the hell? So he pulls over and then he like opens his seat. His seat, I don't know what kind of seat he did. It was custom made, okay? He opens like the top part of his seat, his driver's seat. And there is like a tiny little box in there. And then he puts that gun and drops the seat back down and he sits on it. I was like, what the fudge, bro? That was crazy, you guys. That was insane. I was so scared because first of all, I was like, guns are not legal here in Canada. Hello, I am studying criminology, okay? I know guns are not legal here. You cannot carry a weapon unless if you're licensed to carry and use a weapon like a police officer, a law officer or whatever, a security person or whatever. But regular ass citizens, like you and I we shouldn't be having guns, right? So I was asking him, I was like, okay, so what do you mean you carry a gun for security? Like, why? What are you scared of? Like, why are you trying to secure yourself? What's the deal, right? And then he was like, no, the field that I'm in can be a little risky. I was like, what field? You told me you are an IT software person. You work somewhere as an IT developer. What do you mean? What do you mean you need a gun for security? Like, what is going on? Are we gonna be passing by, drive by, and then people start shooting at you, and then I catch a stray bullet? Like, what? What's the deal, right? And then he was like, no, it's just for security, you know, in my line of business, it may be, it's required that I have a personal gun or a personal weapon. Guys, okay, I am going to say it right now that I was so dumb at that time. And I was like, oh, okay, all right, that's okay, that's cool. I didn't even think twice about his explanation. I was just like, oh, okay, I see, whatever, right? I wouldn't do that today because let me tell you what, history and time and age has taught me that if the person that you're with or in within your vicinity is doing something that is illegal, chances are very high that you may end up catching something. I don't know what it is. You may end up catching a stray bullet. You may end up being ambushed by other people, by guilt, by association. I don't know. Anything can happen. If that was to happen to me today, listen, let me tell you what I would have done. If that was today, this guy pulls over and he's putting his gun in his little compartment under his seat, I would have booked it. Like, out. Peace. I'm out. No, I don't want any parts of this. But by then, I don't even know why I understood that. Like, why? Why did I believe and understand? It was like, oh, okay, cool, fine, whatever. So we went and went to the lounge. We had drinks. He was really nice, which I think that's the reason why my brain was very confused. He was really, really nice, but... And so his niceness and his good looks concealed the weapon. Ha! Pun intended. His niceness and his, yeah, his good looks, nice. He was well kept and kempt. Like, he was a good looking man. I think I went on that date for vain reasons because... in this day and age, like right now, I wouldn't give a shit if he was driving, I don't know what, a robot. I don't care what he's driving. If he is doing or if he's involved in something illegal, I can't even imagine me like being within the vicinity with a person like that while knowing, like having full knowledge that, okay, this person is not, he ain't right. Right? But back then I was so naive. Ah, anyway, everything was nice. Ah, he smelled so good too. You know what? That's the, and now it all makes sense now. It all makes sense. It was because he was good looking. He was like this Greek god. Everything smelled good, nice car, everything dope. With a gun under his seat. Okay. So, we went, the date was amazing. The date was good, good conversation. And then I started asking him about his, like, you know, personal questions. Tell me about your family. Like, do you have sisters? Do you have brothers? What's the deal? And then this dude says, yeah, I have a family, but I don't like talking about them. I was like, oh, okay. What do you mean? He's like, yeah, I don't like talking about them. I was like, okay, but do you have siblings? He was like, I don't want to talk about that. I was like, okay. You live here, but where do you live? Yes, you live in this city. You live in Vancouver, but where? And then he was like, no, I don't want to talk about that either. I was like, okay. So then what do you want to talk about, sir? He was like, yeah, I just want to talk about you and me. I was like, but we have talked about you and me. What do you mean, like, you and me? What are we going to talk about you and me? Me trying to find out about you and your family and your roots and your history and what you do. That's me trying to find out about you, talking about you. And then he was like, no, I'm just not open right now. And then he received a phone call. Okay. He received a phone call. He was like, and it was very good. He received a call, says hello. And then he was like, okay, cool, I'm coming. And then he looks at me, he's like, okay, we gotta go. I was like, what the fuck? I was like, what the fudge? We are having a wonderful time over here. We're having our drinks, we're talking, even though the conversation about his family should have been another red flag. You know what? I have realized now that I have a tendency to ignore red flags. I need to do better. There were so many red flags, but I ignored them. Not anymore. I'm never going to do that again. But that time, he was like, oh, okay, I got to go. There's something I need to do right now. So let's go. I was like, okay. I hadn't even finished my cheesecake, the dessert. But I was like, okay. I told the waitress to, obviously I'm going to take my cheesecake with me, okay? So I told the waitress to bag it, and then off we went. He drove me, dropped me home. Oh my God, that guy smelled so good though. But anyway, he he dropped me home, and then he was like, oh, okay, so I'll call you later. I just have to run an errand. Okay, so you guys, I want you to picture this. What kind of an errand is run in the evening or like at night around 8 or 9 or whatever? What kind of an errand is that? What kind of an errand is run after somebody calls you and is like, hey, whatever, whatever. And he's like, okay, cool, I'll be there. And then he says, I'm going to go run an errand. My brain right now, because my brain right now fires in all directions and I look and revisit and analyze everything, I should have caught that as a red flag. But my dumb ass back then was just like, oh, okay, I don't know. Maybe it's going to fix somebody's software or something, or develop software at 9:30 p.m. or something, which was stupid, so dumb. But anyway, he was like, okay, I gotta go, I'll call you back, whatever. And off he went. In my head at that time, I was like, oh my God, that was a wonderful date. I'm just sad that he had something else to do, but I think we were vibing and it was good. He went. 2 days later, he sent a nice bouquet of flowers to my work. And it was really nice roses, red. And the card with the flowers said, it was nice knowing you, but I don't think we're a match. I was like, what? First of all, who does that? Who sends flowers and says that, oh, it was nice knowing you, but I don't think we're a match? I was like, okay. I don't know why back then I was heartbroken and sad about that. I don't know whether it's because he had said that we are not a match, and that to me signaled that I was being rejected, or I don't know if it was. I don't know what it was, but it really hurt my feelings. My feelings were hurt. I was like, okay, whatever. So never talked to him again. Nothing. But I bumped into him 2 weeks ago, but that's a story for another day. I'm saying all this to, I said all that to say this. When I opened myself up to start dating outside my culture, I started with online dating. That didn't work for me. No, that didn't work for me. That experience with this guy with a gun in his car really, really messed me up. Oh, I have another story. Another one. This is going to be quick. Another one, I remember, I went on another online date, maybe like a year after this, with the year after the gun owner. I went on another date, and this time around, the person that was on the profile was not the person that showed up. The person on the profile said their age was, I think it was like 32 or something. The person that showed up was in their 50s to 60s, because he had a head full of gray hair. Okay, I was like, what is going on? I remember with this date as well, I had gone to that date with a friend of mine, because we had to travel and go to a different area altogether. It was like a 30-minute train ride. So I took my best friend with me, and I was like, hey, I need you to be like, you know, to be with me in case this guy has another gun or has a knife. I don't know what these people are carrying nowadays, and if I don't know if he wants to steal and harvest my kidneys or my heart, I don't know. Just come with me. So anyway, she she came with me, and then this man, this old man showed up. That was whoa, right? This guy shows up, and I was like, I don't think you're the person that I'm supposed to meet. He was like, oh yeah, that's a photo from me from like 10 years ago. Anyway, the whole thing was a doozy. And then I resigned from online dating. It's not for me. It isn't. But after that, along the way, there's been some greatness that has come around and gone, with actual people that I can see and know. And it's been amazing. It's been really good. I'm saying all that to say this. I had to open myself up to everything, embrace everything, right? Try everything and make sure that as I'm trying to understand other people's cultures, I'm trying to understand their traditions while also not forgetting who I am and where I come from and my values. Just because I'm embracing a new culture or community or country doesn't mean that I will do certain things the same as what that culture or community does. And yeah, that's how it was done. And after that, honestly speaking, since I opened myself to changing, accepting everything and embracing everything, life has been good. I am so glad that I live in this country. Canada has given me a lot of opportunities and it has changed my life. I have met some amazing people here. I have gained intensive knowledge. I love it. I love it here. One thing that really had me messed up in a bit was the weather. It was really, really, the first 5 years were really hard for me. The winters were really, really hard. The summers were really, really, really hard because I personally feel that the weather here sometimes is always at an extreme. If it's summer and it's hot, it's humid. It's just sticky, hot, and not like African kind of heat. It's like just this wet heat, right? That's in the summer. And in the winter, even though people say that Vancouver and some parts of BC have the best weather in the winter, not for this African girl. The winter, the temperature drops. Like anything under 8 degrees Celsius to me is freezing. Okay? That's how I look at it up until today. So it did take me a while to get accustomed to that. And sometimes once in a while, even in the most recent years, I will still feel the, when it's in winters, especially now, when it's really, really, really cold, I feel it in my body. Like my body starts to act up in a way. I need to have my vitamin D pills and supplements. My body acts weird in the winter. Like it acts weird. I get fevers. My body doesn't act right. But aside from that, everything else has been good. I love it here. I'm so grateful to this country for giving me the opportunities that I have. The sky is always the limit. People ask me if there are issues with racism. Of course, that's going to be everywhere. But the majority, I would say that 95% of the time that I've interacted with people or anything to that effect, it's been okay. It's been absolutely amazing. I love that I really have the same opportunities as everyone else who's in this country, to be honest. And I believe that as long as you can work your ass off and do what you're supposed to do, don't break the law. Just be a person who is productive and takes a part, a person who takes a part in the community, or just do you, stay in your lane and mind your business and do what you gotta do. It's grand. I love it. I love it here. It's been a great change. And I call this place home. This is my home. And yeah, that's all I had for you today, you guys. I will be back next week. Lots of stuff that has gone on in the past couple of weeks that I really, really want us to, or rather that I really want to talk to you guys about. I want to talk about the Dalai Lama situation. Ebony K. Williams has said some things that have caused trouble. Jamie Foxx, I don't know, is he alive? Is he a vegetable? Has he passed away? I don't know. So many things going on. And the Donald Trump saga and everything. Too much craziness is going on. And so we are going to talk about that hopefully next week, unless if something crazier happens. You guys know I love you. You know that I appreciate you, and thanks for supporting my podcast. My name is Tag. It's been a pleasure. See you later.